So, you may not think that this morning's text has anything to do with Mother's Day. And you're probably right. But I will say this. I was watching the news last night, and I think it was, if I heard correctly, a survey taken of mothers by TGI Fridays, the restaurant. Now, I don't know if you should rely upon a survey given by a fast casual kind of restaurant, but the overwhelming thing that women wanted for Mother's Day was time by themselves. 71% of women, of mothers said, I would like to just be able to spend some time by myself. And as I hear the way that Jesus interacts with the crowd, it makes me think about the women that have blessed my life. They're a little bit like the Savior that we witness in Luke 9. Because all he wants to do in this passage of Scripture is withdraw. To get away by himself, by themselves, take a few of his friends and go and not have to worry about the responsibilities. Inevitably, we all face times when we are exhausted and need a break from life. Mothers in particular. And so, at times they retreat and withdraw to a quiet place. But inevitably there is a knock at the door of someone who needs something. And they offer it up. They make a snack out of thin air, or a science project out of a cardboard box, or a game out of an unmatched sock. There's no time for self-care. There's no time for rest. The children have a need. And that's exactly what we see here with Jesus, only on a much greater scale. So let me just, mothers that are here today, mothers that are watching today, let me tell you that Jesus understands the desire to withdraw and the need of those around you that prevents that. Jesus sees the need. As I said, he wanted to withdraw privately. He had reason to feel exhaustion. The physical drain of walking for hours, ministering for hours, teaching for hours, constantly before people, demanding of him. There is also the spiritual drain, needing and wanting and desiring to be with the Father. And so, in this moment that we find in Luke chapter 9, verse 10, he desires to get away. We remember that he tried to get away before, or maybe we thought he tried to get away, cross the sea, and there he meets the demon-possessed man, comes back, and sends out his disciples. And they come back and tell him all the things that they were able to do. And now he's just wanting to recharge. replenishes strength. Spend some time in prayer. However, the crowd finds out where he is going, and they follow him. The crowd learns that he withdrew to a town called Bethsaida, and they go there. And Jesus does what Jesus does. He ministers. Oh, thank you. Just a glimpse into my life. I went to get blood taken for A1C the other day. And they said that I don't drink enough and I didn't have enough blood in me. So they had to stab me 3 or 4 times in one arm and then said, yeah, this isn't going to work. And they got blood out of the other arm, thankfully. All to say that I don't drink enough water. And I apologize for that. Janine said to me, you need to drink a glass of water every morning. You should drink before you go up and preach. And did I? Nope. Just goes to show you that at 55, you still need a motherly influence in your life. So thank you, Janine. As I was saying, Jesus ministered to the needs of the crowd. And he ministers to them in the same exact manner that he had just instructed the disciples. What does he do? He welcomes them. Remember what Jesus said. When you go to a town, if someone receives you, lets you in, then you stay there until you're done. And if they don't welcome you, shake the dirt off your shoes and leave that village. Jesus welcomes them. He says, come on in. I am here for the long haul. And he preaches the kingdom of God. And he heals the sick, which is exactly what he called the disciples to do. And we can look at this two ways. One, Jesus is doing exactly what he called us to do. Or that we are called to do exactly what Jesus did. To welcome people in. To preach the kingdom of God or the gospel of Jesus. And to meet their physical needs. He gave the crowd all that he had, all that they needed, until the sun was setting. And as it was getting late, the disciples say to Jesus that he should send the crowd away. Literally, what they were told not to do. If someone welcomes you in, stay with them. They will provide for you. Jesus is modeling what it means to welcome someone in. You don't send them away and say, well, I'm done. I'm tired. I'm hungry. You're obviously hungry. Go find yourself someplace to lay your head. Go find yourself someplace to get some food. When you welcome someone, you provide them food and shelter. Jesus welcomed them. And his servants should have been willing to feed them. But Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And they say, well, all we have is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Certainly that's not enough. So Jesus supplies what is needed. And Jesus starts with a small amount. He takes what they have. They're in a remote area. They've been there all day. And the disciples presumably petition the crowd. They go throughout and say, does anyone have anything that they can spare? And according to John chapter 6, verse 9, all that was left at the end of the day was a boy who had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, we're not talking loaves of bread. We're talking pita pocket, Boston Market, little loaves. And we're not talking fish. Yeah, he had 2 swordfish. It was amazing. He had 2 Alaskan salmon. It was incredible. No. He probably had sardines or smelts. Something that you could easily eat. That had been probably in a Scandinavian way cured of somehow. I can't imagine that. Oh yeah, here's the kid that has this fresh fish that's been sitting out in the sun all day. Chances are it was cured or dried fish. And the disciples know that it's not enough. Because Jesus says, you feed them. And they say, all we have are 2 fish, 5 loaves. Unless you want us to go to the store and buy food for everyone. But you know, we really don't have the money to do that either. But we know that we don't have enough. And Jesus says, actually, Jesus doesn't say anything. He just takes, according to Luke, he just takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He holds them up, looking to heaven. He speaks a blessing, a eulogy, good words, kind words. Now, we don't know for sure what Jesus said. One of the other gospel accounts says that he thanked God for the food. What we do know is that he prepares the crowd. He prepares the disciples to prepare the crowd for what's about to happen. I want you to go around and group these people into 100 different groups of 50 men each. Because there was about 5,000, if my math is correct, 50 times 100 is 5,000. So 100 different groups, just put them out there, 100 groups. And can you imagine? There's this huge crowd and you have these 12 going around and saying, okay, you guys huddle over here, you guys huddle over here, sit down, because we're going to eat. You guys, sit down, because we're going to eat. And everyone is sitting in clusters of 50 men plus women and children. What's going to happen? I assume that they had questions. I assume that the crowd had questions. Yeah, what are you going to feed us? What's going on? But they sit. Jesus breaks apart the fish and the bread. Breaks it into little pieces. And then gives the disciples, which are 12, portions. And somehow, as the disciples are going out, setting the food in front of people, if there's 100 groups and 12 people, that means 8 groups per person. If I do the math correctly, roughly, 8 or 9. I don't know what happened. Doesn't say. All we know is that Jesus breaks up those 2 fish, gives, can you imagine? 12 people getting 2 fish, little pieces. Okay, here's your fish piece, and here's your 4/5 of a loaf of bread. Now go and feed your 8 groups of people. All right, I'm going to put it in front of them. Wait a minute. I'm going to put it in front. And it multiplies. We're not sure if it multiplies when Jesus breaks it, just keeps breaking it and breaking it and breaking it and breaking it. Or if it multiplies when it gets into the disciples' hands. Or it multiplies when it gets to the crowd. Or it multiplies before the crowd. But we do know that Jesus finishes with a great abundance, that everyone is satisfied. Not just everyone has something to eat, but everyone is full. So much so that there are leftovers, and the leftover pieces are abundantly more than what they first started with. Now we may say, oh, isn't that amazing? The miracle is that God enabled them to be satisfied with just a crumb. And that might be the case if there was nothing left. But that's not true. 12 baskets full of pieces were collected. The miracle is that God multiplied what was provided so that everyone's need was met. The fact remains that our gifts are never sufficient, but God makes them sufficient. Our gifts are never sufficient, but God makes them sufficient. Can you imagine being part of the crowd, being told to sit as those 5 loaves and 2 fish were broken into pieces? But the truth is that God supplies what is needed, and that Jesus satisfies every need. That there is no such gift too small for God to use. 5,000 people plus women and children were fed with a single bag of food. And we all have personal testimonies, I am sure, about God's provision. Growing up with leftover soup, leftover meals. They have shows on TV now. Oh, we'll just take what's in your pantry and we'll make a meal. And I'm telling you right now, those pantries were never what I had as a kid, what I understood that we had as a kid. My mother was able to take, I don't know, half a can of deviled ham and make it into a banquet somehow. No idea. Tuna fish that had breadcrumbs and celery and could feed a family of 6 on a single can. It's also the process that we see in so many of the parables of Jesus of planting seeds. Something that starts off small, but grows and reproduces and multiplies and adds and provides. And we can learn from God's multiplication lesson that we should never underestimate the power of God, and that we should never doubt that God can satisfy our need. What can God accomplish through our still small gifts? The other thing is that there's no such thing as too broken for God to use. That nothing is wasted. Nothing is too broke. And we can learn from God's lesson on remainders, that we may think that what we have in God's hands, what we give to God, it just gets broken and broken and broken and broken and broken and broken. That our pain is not useless and our problems are not hopeless and our lives are not worthless. That in God's hands we can be broken so that we can be reformed, renewed. And the gifts we have can be given out and spilled out. Because that's the way God provides. He satisfies our needs. Our sermon in a sentence is this: Christ is able to take all we can give and make it more than sufficient. There are many implications and applications for this passage. Our church, this gathering of faith, is certainly not big enough to satisfy all the needs of the crowd around us. But does God consider our gifts given in love as insignificant? No, not at all. Because He can take whatever we have. He can take all that we have, and He can make it sufficient. Our lives, our productivity, our giftedness as individuals are not big enough to meet all the needs of all the people around us. Those that are sick, those that are tired, those that are hungry. And sometimes we may think that God doesn't care, that our voices are too small, or that our needs are too great. But is that true? Absolutely not. We would be wise to see God as a small child sees their mother. That they go to the grocery store. And in the aisle of the grocery store is a candy bar. As they go to the checkout, there's matchbox cars, there's gum, there's batteries. There's all sorts of things that little kids would be fascinated with. And this little child looks at his mother and says, I have a fistful of money. Is it enough? And what does the mother say? Give me what you have. It'll be enough. And that's what God does for us all the time. We are these children who go to their Heavenly Father and say, here's what I have. Is it enough? And God says, I'll make it enough if you trust me. It may look like a Lunchable, a few crackers and a little bit of meat. But in God's hands, it's much more than enough. It will satisfy our every need. Christ is able to take all we can give and make it more than sufficient. Shall we pray?